an exciting morning. It's an exciting season of change and celebration. And so if you're a senior in the room this morning, or if you're online joining us, and maybe you're a senior or a parent of a senior, we're glad that you're here. If we haven't gotten to meet, my name is Rob. I am one of the ministers on staff here at the church. I'm the student minister, but it hasn't always been that way. If you've been around, you kind of know we went through a season of change earlier on. 2.5 years ago, I started working at the church. I started as the worship minister, so I helped out with music on Sundays and the worship team. And in that time, I got asked and started helping out with the student ministry. And I started helping out with a small group leading juniors and seniors. And so I had the class of 2020 was my first group of seniors when I was a small group leader. And I got to know them pretty well, but they already kind of had one foot out the door. And then the class of 21, I got to get to know a little bit more. I had them for a few years and got to celebrate with them. But the class of 22 is one that is very, very special to me and my family, and it will be special to me and my family for a long time. Because this class is different. This is our first senior class, and for me. And it's not that I don't care about all you other students. I love you all, but this class is just really special. And let me tell you why. 2.5 years ago, I had no intention of being the student minister at Wellspring. I had full intention of staying in worship until I went last summer to CIY, which is a trip that our high schoolers go on. And I went and I was hanging out with these juniors and seniors who were there. And Ronnie and I were overseeing this small group that week of juniors. And so I was hanging out one day, and I'll never forget the scene. I'll paint the picture a little bit. We're going whitewater rafting, right? And we're about to leave, and we're standing at this place waiting on the bus to come pick us up, and we're playing cornhole, hanging out, and I'm playing cornhole specifically with like Nate Baines, Gianni McGlasson, Cole Barnhill, and Hayden Guthrie, who's graduated already, but he was there. We're all hanging out, and I remember thinking, these guys are dumb. Like, and it wasn't just those students, it's all students. I was like, they're all kind of dumb, but it was okay because I know like I'm equally dumb or more dumb, and it made it work. But it was just this moment for me that kind of solidified this feeling I'd had. And it was hanging out there, talking with them, goofing off, getting to know them better throughout that week. It just made me think, I think that student ministry is something I might need to look at more seriously. This might be something that God is calling me to. And then the bus came and it picked us all up, and we got about 20 minutes down the road. We're on these winding back roads outside of Cleveland, Tennessee, heading to the drop point for whitewater rafting. And a mile ahead of us, maybe not even that far, this Mountain Dew truck turned over and blocked the road. And the school bus was too big to just make a U-turn to turn around. So we sat there and waited for like 45 minutes. And so I'm in the back of this school bus with a helmet and a life jacket on and an oar. I'm crushed up between another high school student, and we're stuck. There's no AC. It's June, July. Windows are down, and we're just sitting there. And it's all of a sudden our job to entertain high schoolers on a bus in the heat. And it was probably like 45 minutes, but I make it sound like it was days we sat there. Felt like days. And any sane individual would have said, okay, God, I know what you're doing. I'm not going to do that. Like, okay, you're going to put me in the sun for 45 minutes with a bunch of high schoolers. Like, a lot of people in here, do not raise your hands, but a lot of people are like, that's the worst thing in the world. That sounds terrible. A sane individual would have walked away, but I didn't. It actually solidified even more me hanging out with those students on the bus and realizing I want to be the person who, when there's a problem like this, I have these memories with them, and I want to have these students. And all the students have been wonderful and amazing to Corinne, my wife, and I since we've been in this position. But the class of 22 is very special to me because I got to then, after going through the interview process and accepting the position, I got to walk into small group on a Wednesday night as their small group leader and say, hey, I'm actually your student minister now. And that's a memory that I won't have with other students. And so I have it with that class. So if you're in the class of 22, thank you. You are very special to us. We're very proud of you, and we're always here for you. And you're not going to make me cry because you're not that powerful. You don't get to do that. But I will say this. Worship was comfortable and it was convenient, and I really do love it. I still love it. But when there's a calling on your life, you have to make a change and you have to listen. And it reminds me of another story we find in Scripture of a man named Moses. Maybe you guys have heard of Moses before. If you haven't, maybe you've heard the name. Let me just give you kind of the spark notes of who Moses is. So Moses is born into a Jewish family during a time when the Jewish people are enslaved in Egypt. And his mother, in an effort to save him from a life of slavery, sends him away for him only to be found by not just any family, but one of the royal families of Egypt. And so Moses is raised with kind of the power and the wealth and the opportunity of an Egyptian prince. So something he never would have possibly imagined as a Jewish slave is the life he ended up walking into and being a part of. And as he grew up, he was raised with that kind of title and wealth and ability and opportunity that nobody else in his position would have had. And so Moses went on, and then one day he looked and he saw one of his fellow Jewish people. Again, he was raised Egyptian, but he was a Jewish individual. He saw somebody being harassed and mistreated by an Egyptian. He saw somebody who was being hurt. And so what Moses did, he felt a call in that moment to step in. He said, something's not right and I need to fix it. So Moses intervened and there was this big altercation that led to Moses running away. So Moses experienced a call, he acted upon it, and it cost him his comfort. It cost him the life that he had been into that had wealth and opportunity. It cost him that. When he answered the call, it cost him comfort and he ran away. He ran away from that. Fast forward a little bit. Moses is in the wilderness now. He's looking for a new life to live. He's trying to create a new opportunity for himself. And he finds himself in the wilderness and he comes across a man who gives him an opportunity to work. So Moses grows up a little bit more and he starts working on this land. He even marries one of those guys' daughters and they end up starting a family. He becomes a father and he's just working the land every day. It's not that it all just fell into his lap, but it was convenient. It was an easy opportunity coming along and it just made sense. Well, it makes sense to work for this guy. I don't have anything else going on. Well, he has a daughter. It makes sense to marry into this family. It makes sense to have a title. It makes sense. It's comfortable. It's convenient. And so that's what Moses did for years. He grew older and he started working the land. And one day he was out in the fields and he sees this bush that's on fire. And it's not really weird in this area of the world for bushes to be on fire. It's really hot. But it was weird that it was still burning and it didn't burn up. It just kept going. Enough so that it caught Moses' eye and he went over to the bush. And it turns out that God was using this bush as an opportunity to talk with Moses. So Moses takes his shoes off as he stands on holy ground and he begins talking with God. And God says, I need you to go back. I need you to go back to Egypt, to the place you left. I need you to go and I'm going to use you to free my people. And let me tell you guys, Moses had so many reasons to say no. A, he had already given up that comfort and that life. He had already ran away. He didn't want to have to go back and face that. Moses also, well, he wasn't very good at speaking. So he thought, if I have to go make a proposition to Pharaoh and all these individuals, that means a lot of talking and I'm not good at that. He came up with a lot of reasons to say no. One of the things that isn't talked about so much, but I think is true, is he's like, I have everything I need here. I have my life, I have my family, I have a good job, I have land that when I'm dead and gone can go to my family. Like I have everything I think I need. It's convenient. But Moses learned something that I think a lot of us need to learn. And it's that God doesn't always call us to comfort. God doesn't always call us to convenience. But I think God always leads us to a calling. God always leads us to a calling. And Moses would go on to answer the call. And he would go back to Egypt, and with the help of his brother and a lot of different individuals who came alongside of him in the story, he went on to lead the Jewish people out of Egypt and into freedom. And it doesn't mean it was all easy from there. There were a lot of hills and valleys along the way. But I promise you that if Moses had not answered that call, none of you have heard of Moses because he was a shepherd. None of us know who Moses is because he was someone who ran away after a fight. We know Moses because he answered the call and he went back. He had all the money and wealth he wanted. He had the most comfortable life available to him. But to answer the call, he had to let that go. He had convenience. He had opportunities, things he had worked for, things that made sense. But he had to look at the things that always made sense and were always convenient. And he had to set those aside for the call. The call to do what God wanted. And so seniors, over the next few weeks, whether it is at your graduation ceremony or it's a graduation party where an uncle with bad breath tells you what you should do with your life, you're going to hear a lot of different advice over the next few weeks. But hear me, this is the advice I'll give you, is do not settle. Do not settle. Do not settle for comfort. Do not settle for convenience, because our God did not create you and put you to work so that you could settle for something the world has to offer. My prayer for you, my hope for you, I hope you find comfort along the way. I hope you have seasons of comfort and joy with family and with opportunity. I hope that the things that are convenient, those aren't just convenient because they're going to fall in your lap. You have worked incredibly hard. You've gotten the scholarships and taken the test and put in the work. You've worked really hard. I hope that those things are convenient because you've worked for them to be convenient. But please do not settle for those things when God calls you to action. Because to answer the call, it means you have to sacrifice your comfort and your convenience. And I personally can say, I have not gotten this right every time in my life. I'm sure most individuals and parents in the room can look back on times you should have done something differently. You're not going to get it right every time, but I'll tell you this. When I traded the comfort and convenience of worship to be your student minister, it was the right choice. That was the right call. And that was the call that God made for me and my wife and my family. And through you guys being so kind and generous and loving and welcoming, your senior class has meant so much to us. And part of the reason I am the student minister is because, and I've said this to them, I'll say it to the church, there is no group of individuals like the students at Wellspring who are so ready to drop everything to help the people next to them. Never trade that call to love people and point them to Jesus. Never trade that for comfort or money. There's no time like your freshman year of high school or freshman year of college to slip into what is comfortable. The freedom you're now leaving, the freedom that you're now gaining from leaving this place, this bubble, the opportunity that's coming up. It's easy to say yes to a lot of things, but don't settle. Don't settle for the first thing that comes your way. Don't settle for the easy route. Don't settle for the most money. Do what God is calling you to do, because on the other side of that obedience, you will find faith and goodness and faithfulness of God like nothing else. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. It's not always convenient. But answer the call, because God's way is still so much better. And I'm proud of you, and I think you'll do that. One of the things that Moses had, like I mentioned, was when he did answer the call and when he did step into action, it wasn't just Moses alone trying to figure it out. God was always with him, but God also sent people around him. He sent Aaron, his brother, to go with him and talk on his behalf because Moses wasn't that great at talking. And in the same way, you have a church here, seniors, you have a church here in this room who are online, who are a part of Wellspring, who love you and care for you and are here for you and are a pillar for you to lean on. Not only that, but I am here for you always. My wife is here for you always. Call us, text us anytime, no matter where you go, whatever you need, and let us know. We love you, and we're here for you. But the most powerful thing the church can do right now is pray for you. So I want to ask, if you're a senior in the room, would you stand where you are? Would you stand up if you are a senior in the class of 22? Give them a round of applause. If you would, if you're close to one of these seniors, would you lay a hand on them or would you reach out towards them? I want to pray this prayer blessing over them. Father God, please don't let this moment be lost on us. Lord, this moment in lives where we change everything and we move on and we start over in a lot of ways. Lord, I pray that these students would find wisdom and comfort in nothing but you. Father, we do pray that in their lives they will see comfortable things and convenience, but Lord, would you never let them trade your call for those things? Never let them trade their identity for those things. Never let them trade their passion for those things. Because you have called them to something so much higher and greater. Lord, I pray that in their moments of weakness or confusion or concern, that they would lean on you first and the church second. That they would lean into your people for help and guidance along the way. And Lord, I pray most of all that you would give them opportunity and chances to step into situations and lives and people and conversations that won't just change everything, but will lead them to you. Father, this is a room filled with game changers, and these seniors are game changers. Would you motivate them and encourage them, protect them, and would you give them peace? Lord, we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You all may be seated.
So I still remember the moment when I realized that I'd been misled my entire life. I still remember 7 years ago this month, I still remember it in my head. I was attending a graduation party for some friends of ours, and their oldest daughter was graduating that year. And so at one point during the little party, the dad got up and kind of called everybody's attention together, and he began to thank everybody for coming. And then he began to talk to his oldest daughter, and he got choked up in the process. And while he's working to compose himself, I looked down the row that I was sitting on at my family, and I saw my daughter who just finished her sophomore year of high school, my other daughter who just finished her freshman year of high school, and I got a little choked up. And I realized my entire life I had been misled, because I always thought graduation was about the graduates. It's not. It's about the parents. Like, I realized in that moment, this has all been a lie. And now we've had four, in my family, we've had four graduations in 5 years, and I can most assuredly tell you, it's not about the students. I mean, give them the name on the cake, fine. It's not about them. It's about you, the parents. And so Rob already talked to them, so I'm going to talk to you, and we'll make that even that way and all of that. So let me talk to the parents just a minute in the room. Do you ever feel like parenting is like climbing a mountain? Anybody ever feel like that? If you do, I wanted to say to the parents of graduating seniors, you're almost to the top of the mountain. Now, in some ways, parenting never ends. I have two kids who graduated a few years ago. Now they've graduated college. Two more still to go. And in some ways, parenting goes on and on and on. It's like you get to the peak and you look out and there's another peak and another peak and another peak of the mountain, if you want to do that. But in some ways, in significant ways, you're almost to the finish line. You're almost to the top of the mountain. So congratulations. Now, Rob spoke a minute ago about Moses answering the call, and he applied that to students' lives, and that we can totally see how our students are answering the call just as Moses did to a life of calling. But Moses was also a parent to 2 million whiny, disobedient, stubborn children. And so in real ways, you and I as parents can learn from Moses as well. And to just like you, Moses in his parenting had to climb some mountains. And so I want to use that as an analogy for this morning. We first see Moses climbing a mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And if you're going to climb the parenting mountain, you've got to climb to stay connected to God yourself. And you've also got to climb to get his words into your kid's life. Now, my question, I never really considered until this week, is why did Moses have to climb the mountain at all? Exodus 19 says the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and then called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. But if God could descend to the top of Mount Sinai, I'm sure Moses was asking, why couldn't he come all the way down to the bottom and not make me go up and down the mountain a bunch of times? Like, why did he have to climb at all? Because we don't know for sure, but if you read through the text closely, he didn't just go up once and get the tablets and come back down. He went up and talked to God and then came back down and talked to the people and back to God and back to the people. Six trips he made before he actually brought the tablets down. Why did he have to do it? I think it's because God was giving us a picture. If you want to lead your kids, you've got to work to get God's word into their life. It's work. You know, Moses had to climb the mountain to get it six times, to get the words of God down to the people. And if you're going to deliver the words of God to your kids, if you're going to deliver God, your kids to God and his word, you've got to work at it. It's work to do. Now, for parents of younger kids, don't think you're off the hook here. You'll be in this shoes in about 15 minutes, so don't think you're out of the game here. I want to challenge you to work to get God's word into your kid's life. You're going to feel like it's an uphill climb sometimes. The reason you feel that way is because it is an uphill climb sometimes, but do it anyway. You've got to work to get God, to connect to God on your own, because they'll never go someplace that you don't go first. So climb the mountain to connect with God, and then climb the mountain to get God's word into their life. For parents of graduating seniors, you know, this is a moment to celebrate. It's also a moment sometimes when you feel regret or guilt, say, man, I wish I'd have done this different or that different. It's a snapshot of your life. You think, man, I wish sometimes I'd have handled this season or that season different. It's not too late for you. If you don't feel like you've done enough to get God into their life, use these next moments wisely. You know, the next 3 months as you're preparing for college or the trade school or military, whatever it is, your next few months, bring God and church into the discussion. So when you're moving them into classes, or find them a church in that college town, find them a campus ministry there at the university, one of the biggest priorities of move-in weekend should be getting them into something spiritual, not just into something educational. Ask them about their new church. when you're asking about their classes over those first few weeks. Work to get God's word into their life. It's huge. So that was the first time that Moses climbed the mountain, or the first six if you're keeping real close score. Do you remember the second event that Moses used to climb the mountain? This is actually a funny parenting story as well. So he was up on the mountain with God. He finally had gone his sixth trip. He's getting ready to get the tablets at 40 days and 40 nights. And Exodus 32 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt,'" I love how God's putting the blame on him, "'whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I commanded them. They've made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it, sacrificed to it, and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people,' the Lord said to Moses, 'and they're a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, and then I will make you into a great nation.'" This is also a great picture of parenting. God said, "I've had enough. Just leave me alone and I'll destroy them." And Moses pleads with him. Said, God, be patient. Don't let your anger burn against them. I mean, Amy and I had this exact conversation about one of our kids just the other day. Like, this is exactly the same conversation we had. So God and Moses are having this conversation about, don't let me destroy them. I know you want to, just try to pull it together. And so God calms down and Moses goes down the mountain. And verse 19 says, "When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, then his anger burned. He threw the tablets out of his hands and breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain." It's a picture of parenting. So because Moses loses it, he has to now go up the mountain yet again to get another set of tablets from God. Six times to get the word of God the first time, and because he loses it, he has to go up there again. That's parenting. You have to do it, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again, and again, and again. When your kids fail, climb the mountain again. When you fail, climb the mountain again. When you're at the end of your rope, do it again. That's the picture of parenting. You just have to keep doing it over and over and over. That's the second picture of Moses climbing the mountain. But there's also a third picture, and I want to end with this picture. So he gives them the word of God. For 40 years, they travel through the wilderness and the desert. Sometimes he's led them well. Sometimes he's led them poorly. Also a picture of parenting. He gets to the end of that 40 years, he can look back at successes and failures and say, "Man, I wish I'd have done this, I wish I'd have done that. I'm so glad I did this, so glad I did that." Same thing you're feeling now. And then Deuteronomy 34 says, "Then Moses climbed up Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho, and there the Lord showed him the whole land. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said I'd give it to your descendants. I've let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it.'" Moses climbed the mountain the third time to watch his kids go on into the promised land without him. And that's also parenting. Parents, you've climbed the mountain again and again and again to bring God's word to them and to bring them to God's word. And now you're standing at the mountain yet again, and you're looking into the land that they're going to receive. It's a good land. It's a blessed land. It's a land with a lot of opportunity. It's a land with a lot of pitfalls and obstacles. And they're going to go into the land that you've trained them for, and they're going to do that without you. That's parenting. This is the moment you've prepared them for. This is the reason you've climbed the mountain so many times, is to get them ready for this moment. But just like Moses, you're not sending them there alone. God is going with them. Student, I want you to know, God longs to go into this next season of your life with you. Let God go with you. For 18 years, your parents have climbed the mountain for you. Now you've got to climb the mountain yourself. It's a lot of work. I know it is. It takes discipline. We understand that. There are times you'd rather stay with your friends at the bottom of the mountain than go up the mountain. We've all been there. Do it anyway. Climb the mountain to bring God into your life, to bring his word into your heart and into your mind. They didn't go into the promised land alone. They just went without Moses. They took God's presence with them in what's called the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, there were three items, and God was very specific about this. He said, bring two tablets, the two tablets that Moses brought down the second time. That represents the word of God. Bring along Aaron's staff. That represents the power of God. And bring along the jar of manna. That represents the provision of God. And God, I think, did that very intentionally for them, and now we can use it very intentionally for us. Student, take these next steps with God with you. Because it's powerful. Remember to take the word of God with you. It's still true. It's still relevant. It's still timeless. It's still trusted. Take the word of God with you when you go to college, when you go to the trade school, when you go out into apartments and relationships and life. Take God's word with you. Take the power of God with you. Take time to pray, to ask God for his wisdom. He promises to give us wisdom when we ask. So be sure to ask. Like the Israelites going into the promised land, they said, we've never been this way before, so we've got to stay with God. You've never been where you're going before, so take God with you. He knows how to get there. And remember that God will provide for you. Jesus is sending you out into a world on mission, and he says, as you go out on your mission, I will be with you always. Take him with you. I think it's an amazing picture that God gives us. So the people are going into the promised land, and they've got the Ark of the Covenant with them, God's presence with them, his word, his power, his provision with them. And you see God and Moses up on the mountain, standing there together, watching them as parents sending them off into the next season. It's a powerful picture. Student, I want you to know that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what stupid mistakes you make, no matter what great accomplishments you succeed, I want you to know that we're looking out at you from the mountain where we sent you off, where we released you into the promised land, otherwise known as stupid college. We've sent you off, and now we're watching as you go off into this good land. And I want you to know that God longs to go with you, to guide you with his word and to bring you his power, to provide everything you need along the way. So climb the mountain, student. Mom and dad have done it for you for 18 years. We've all pitched in together to do it for you for 18 years. Now it's time for you to do it yourself. Show us the way. Lead us in this way by making climbing the mountain to commune with God the most important priority in your life. It's more important than your educational goals. It's more important than your social goals. It's more important than your fun. All those things are great. Do all of that. Make climbing the mountain to commune with God, to bring God's word into your life, make it the most important priority of your life. And when you do, you won't just succeed educationally. You won't just succeed success and money and position. You will succeed in the most important ways possible. And you will fulfill the vision we see in you all along. We are so proud of you. Why don't you bow your head and let's pray together. God, I pray that you would help us, all of us, to make you the most important part of our life. That we would climb the mountain, metaphorically speaking, to bring your word into our life every day, again and again and again. At every crossroads, at every opportunity, we bring you into our life. And God, I thank you for these students. I thank you for their families. I thank you for the moment you've let us have with them. I thank you for the great dreams, not just that we have for them, but that you have for them. And God, I pray that you would bless them. We ask you, God, to put your fingerprints on their life. That as we send them out, you're going with them to do great things, powerful things, spiritual things. In the name of Jesus. And we pray for your help along the way. In the name of Jesus. Amen.